And a joy to get to see each of you this morning in church. We've got to meet several folks today already from visiting with us out and about. I know there's some folks here from Ohio and some from Colorado and some from Maryland and Texas and somebody from Brazil, Brother Graham Foran. He took the long way around to get here. I mean, he started off up here too. But it's good to see each of you, regardless of from where you hail. And we are thankful that you are here. I want to preach for a little while about a blessed nation. And the scripture talks about a blessed nation. And I'm thankful that I was looking at some. Even our currency says above the $1 bill. That's one I see the most of. You heard about they destroy all these bills after a while. You know, they're getting ready to go down and be destroyed. And the dollar bill, I was talking to a $100 bill, and they said, "Well, how's it been?" He said, "Oh, it's been a good life. I've been from resort to casino to high end restaurants and all this and the like." And the dollar bill said, "Oh, well, that's something." And the $100 bill said to the $1 bill, "Where you been?" He said, "Well, kind of about the same. You Baptist church to Methodist church to Presbyterian church, kind of." And then he said, "Hey, what's a casino?" So. But our money says, "In God we trust." And, you know, we've got so many battles going on in our nation. But I want to preach for a little while, not giving glory to our nation, but I believe we ought to give honor to where honor's due. But I give honor to, I celebrate our nation's birthday, and I believe that we have lifted up in our foundings the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you walk out of here saying, "Boy, looked like you preached a lot about America," I preach about the God I believe that set America up on where it's supposed to be, and I thank God for our nation. And I want you to find your place, if you would, in Psalm 33. Psalm 33, I heard a story about this fella that while you're finding your place in Psalm 33, I heard about this fella that he'd seen some Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on doors and whatnot, and he'd heard, he didn't want them to bother him, but he heard that there were several things that really got them that they did not like, that he'd heard they didn't celebrate Christmas or birthdays. He didn't know it was all true, but he heard that they didn't celebrate Christmas or birthdays. They didn't like the King James Bible. They used some other version. They didn't believe in going to war, and they didn't believe in, of course, celebrating America. And so he saw one coming up, had a briefcase and different things coming up to his door and rung his doorbell. He said, "I'm going to fix them." He went. He was a veteran. He went and got into his old uniform, got it on, draped the American flag across his shoulders, and he brought there. Before he got there, he got this little small Christmas tree. It was there on the counter. He picked that up, and he got a King James Bible in the other hand. He went to the door, started off and flung the door open, started off singing happy birthday to whoever it was, and then ended it in the Star Spangled Banner. And he got done, and he asked that guy, he said, "What do you think of that?" And that guy said, "Wow, in all the years I've been with the assessor's office, this is the strangest house I've ever come to look at your tax situation. So be careful who comes to your door," I guess. So Psalm 33, the Bible says this, verse number 12 says this in Psalm 33, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Now, of course, most of the time when the scriptures make reference to a nation, it's talking about Israel. And you have to be careful. You don't want to pull something from them to you. But there are many, many applications and many promises that can be made to anybody who seeks the Lord. I want to give all glory to the Lord, and I believe, though, that we as a nation have been raised up to exalt Jesus Christ. I was talking to a friend of mine sometime back, and he did a lot of traveling out of the country, and he was talking about the different things that we enjoy, clean water and all of the amenities that we have that we don't even think about as you go to these other countries where you have to be very, very careful about your water and sanitation and all of these problems that other countries face. And we have been lifted up, and we take for granted many of those things. And I was asking myself the question as I was thinking about those items and asking, is it just the luck of the draw that we got to be here where there's so much bounty, where we can raise so many crops and we can raise so much food to feed the world if we wanted to? Is it just the luck of the draw? Was it just the time in history that a superpower was going to be raised up? Was it just something that pushed us up because it was time for that? Or was it something in the Almighty's plan that God raised up a nation that would send missionaries literally around the world with the gospel message and tell folks how they could go to heaven. Because you understand, whether you're an American or some other countryman, whether you've ever been here or always lived here, the truth of the matter is that every man, woman, boy, and girl needs to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the one, the Bible says, came into this world to save sinners. Whether a person is an American or a foreigner or your homeland, and this is a foreign land to you, whether a person, regardless of where they are, and through technology, we're thankful that we're able to broadcast wherever this is lifted out to, and no matter where we come from, where we're going, where we've spent our life, we can lift up the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came into this world to save sinners. But if you take an honest look at the America that you're sitting in today, you must realize, historically speaking, that there was an obvious hand of the Lord involved in the founding and then the rise of this nation that we live in. A South American president once said of one of the countries down there, said this, I quote, "South America was founded by men who were seeking gold, but North America was founded by men who were seeking God." I want you to look first of all at the founding of America, because the Bible says, as the disciples were given the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost." Just as real as those disciples were given that command by Jesus Christ himself, that command has gone down through the ages, and it was seen, and I'll show just a moment, it was seen even when the folks came to this land, the Mayflowers, as they came across. The founding of America was high on the priority of their list, was to push forth the Christian faith. Let me show it by this. On the Mayflower Compact, it said this, 1620 A.D., "In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, defender of the faith," and so forth. Listen to this next phrase. This is in the Mayflower Compact, if you look it up later. "Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith," and then goes on to say, "a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, due by this document, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant." And then it goes on to say, "I say again, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." So some 150 years before our nation celebrated its birth, the Mayflower Compact was given in 1620, and it was given and acknowledging that the reason they were endeavoring to do what they did was for the advancement of the Christian faith. In Philadelphia, when the Constitution, when they were trying to frame the Constitution, it looked like at one point that they would come to a stalemate and a standstill, and it would simply just not going long, laborious hours back and forth hashing things out. And Benjamin Franklin was the one that suggested that they stop and take a break. And one thing while during that break was that he suggested that they pray through the chaplain that was established, or have the chaplain pray that was established. And it was at that time that the quote that you've probably heard on different occasions, where Franklin said, "If it be true that a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, surely a nation cannot rise without his aid." And so we understand that we see the providential hand of God, and I believe for a reason. And that reason was because missionaries have been sent out by the thousands and thousands to go around this world to preach the gospel of Christ, the founding of America. But I see also the faith that's in America. Woodrow Wilson, our 28th president, said that our civilization cannot survive materially unless it's redeemed spiritually. You know, the man that said, "Give me liberty or give me death," Patrick Henry, being a Christian, he said in another quote, "is a character which I prize far above all this world has or can boast." Francis Scott Key, of course, you know his fame of our national anthem, "May I always hear that you are following the guidance of that blessed spirit." And I give you these quotes because I want us to see that our nation, even though people try to deny it now, our nation was birthed with the intent of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the cross that we put in the center and the focal point of this auditorium is also what was at the root, at the founding of the nation in which you sit today, even if you're not a citizen. And so as we lift that up, I see the faith of America. And as much as people may want to deny it, our nation was built on faith in God. And so this morning, we would not do reverence to our nation without doing a reverence and a reverent look at the Savior for which men have founded this nation upon. And so the scripture says that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He was dispatched from heaven, as it were. God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And truths like that is what this nation was founded upon. I see the founding of America, and I see the faith of America, but I also notice the fight for America that needs to be engaged in by every God-fearing, Christ-honoring, blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, because our nation is in a very war for its Christian foundation and its heritage. And we have seen people that have invaded from the outside, and now we see people who are invading, as it were, or fighting much more aggressively from the inside to try to erase every historical part of its Christian foundation. I would submit to you that we've been given lots of wonderful traits, and we as Bible believers need to hold them true. And I'm, as my pastor would say, it's a poor dog that won't wag his own tail. At this point, I would give you the reason why our church exists. And we tried to sum it up in three short phrases that you see on the lobby as you come in. Our church is here so that we can show people how they can love the Lord. The Bible says you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind in Matthew chapter 22. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And we understand, and with all thy soul rather, and thy mind. And we understand that our agenda as a church is to point people to Jesus Christ. As somebody who's waving to say that the bridge is out on the road that you're going on, that you need to go a different direction. Amy and I went across Tennessee all the way to the other side. In Memphis, you know, on the bridge of I-40 is impassable right now because of some structural problems. And so the detours are clearly marked that you've got to go up or down, but you don't go across. And my friend, the church has been here and is going to be here and will continue to stay in the same vein of as it's been, to wave people on that the road on which you're traveling is going to go to a devil's hell, and we don't want anybody to go there. And as if it were that we were standing beside our Suncrest Street out here waving people to the cross of Christ, and we get to do it publicly. We don't meet in underground houses, or underground churches rather. We don't meet privately. We might, but we don't have to meet privately in the backs of little houses. We don't have to be hidden about what we do. We put our sign out front, and we put our literature out, and we give it, and we say we're a church that believes the Bible. We're a church that preaches about Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that I live in this nation. If I lived in another nation and I had to do it under the guise of darkness, I trust I would have the faith to do it. But if I would do it over there, well, I better sure do it here. And I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we'll get to a place where we haven't used all these liberties. And if we don't use them, then we'll get them taken away from us. And so I would say to every Christian, every person who knows the Lord, loves the Lord, and is saved and born again, I would say to each and every one of us, if you live in this nation, then we ought to take this freedom that we have to proclaim Jesus Christ. We have freedom of religion where we can worship the Lord as the Bible shows us to do. And I'm saying, my friend, that this church has been here and continues to be here to show people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only is the purpose of this church to show people the love of God and show them how to love him by accepting Christ, but also the second aspect is to grow together, as you see on the sign out in the lobby. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace." Again, I bring you back to the fact that our nation is so blessed that you did not have to hide your car at a distant parking lot and somehow sneak into the property here. We don't have to hide our crosses on the windows. We don't have to hide all of that stuff. We can tell the folks that we are taking the Word of God and we open it on our Wednesday night Bible study, and we will open it in our elective growth groups. We will elect it in our Sunday school class, or open it in our Sunday school classes, because we will show people how to grow in the pages of the Word of God. And then thirdly, our purpose for being here and the fight that we ought to be in for America is to reach others with the gospel. We start with the cross and we end with the cross, because that's through everything that we do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I see not only the fight for America being that we stand up and proclaim the gospel. Because I come from a line of patriotic forefathers. My dad served in Vietnam. My brother followed his footsteps and went into the Navy and was on an aircraft carrier. And I come from that family. I jokingly say God had a different path and I got in the Lord's army, so to speak. And so I do that. But I love our folks that serve this great nation. And I'm thankful for the faith and the founding. But I see the fight for our nation is that we would remember that we started as a Christian nation. And not only as a Christian nation, but one that proclaims that message to everybody. You understand when the words that were put in our founding document, that all men are created equal, that didn't come from the men who put it on the paper. It came from the pages of the Word of God. Because God says that God Himself is no respecter of persons. That He loves everybody, the rich, the poor, everybody else that's in there. And so when people were putting these thoughts and these great and landmark truths in our founding documents, all they were doing was parroting what was already written in your Bible that you've got laying in your lap. You see, England wasn't that way. England was not that way, that everybody had a fair chance or a shake to get ahead in life. They had that caste system where folks would be nobility and royalty. But here, because God was no respecter of persons, our founding fathers felt led to make our nation so that there was also no respect of persons. This nation, still the greatest on earth, this nation that somebody can go and come into a family that's poor as Job's turkey, but grow and work and see their fortunes come and become a millionaire in one generation, be done in very few nations across this world. And I see this, that the fight for America is to keep the truths of the Bible in place. And I see a few other things. Number one, I see that we ought to raise our kids to know what the flag stands for. I'll get off the Bible side and get on the American side, but there are many folks who are now fighting to say that the flag is outdated and that it should be changed or taken down or be more inclusive, that the stripes should be different and the stars are to this or to the other. My friend, I'm trying to tell us that every aspect of our history, no, we're not perfect. And you look at our world today, our nation today, rather, and you'll certainly see, but it wasn't perfect at its inception, but it is the nation that God has blessed. So I believe we can raise our kids to honor the flag and honor the history, but I also believe we can teach them to remember that this freedom that they enjoy was not cheap. Because there's been a lot of mothers that have given their boys, and they well knew that they very likely would never come home. And we ought to teach our young people the great cost that this freedom comes at. A mother asked President Bush, the second one, when he was president, George W. Bush, "Why did my son have to die in Iraq?" That question spawned somebody to write this little aspect. Mother, before that, asked President Kennedy, "Why did my son have to die in Vietnam?" Another mother asked Truman, "Why did my son have to die in Korea?" Another yet asked President FDR, "Why my son had to die at Iwo Jima?" Another mother asked President Woodrow Wilson, why did my son have to die on the battlefield of France? And another asked President Lincoln, why did my son have to die at Gettysburg? And another asked President Washington, why did my son have to die near Valley Forge? But I bring it down to this, and as I close this morning, there was another mother, obviously, that stood at the foot of the cross of Calvary, who would have had to wonder, she being the only one that truly knew that that one hanging on the middle cross there was the virgin born Son of God. All the other many had believed on him, but she, because of her intimate knowledge of what she had done and not done, would have known the truth, and undoubtedly that mother would have said, why does my son have to die on the cross? But that's because others needed to be saved and live a life that was free of the traps and the sin and the forever judgment of hell. I'm so thankful for a nation where somebody like me can stand up, and I have to remember this, that they can also stand up and promote error. But I'm thankful that we can stand up in this pulpit and promote truth. I preached to you last Sunday night, I believe it was, Sunday morning sometime, about the truth. And I have lived here all of my life. I've only been out of this country once. And I got back as quick as I could. And I have grown up spoiled, because I have always known that regardless of what side of the tracks or how far up the holler you were born, as I was, that if you set forth in this nation to work hard, treat people good, do well with your money, you could rise as high as you wanted to financially. But then I've also grown up in this nation realizing that there was no one who was beyond your reach of friendship. Meaning there wasn't that system of, oh no, we can never go to that level, where the caste system where certain people never associated with other people. But then I've also been spoiled in this nation, because there was never a time that I remember that I didn't know who Jesus Christ was. I don't ever remember a time when I didn't know my family, of course. I'm the baby of the family, so they were all there by the time I got there. I tell my sister, boy, my sister and I volleyed back and forth. She said, boy, Mom realized it was getting so bad by the time she got to you, figured if you're going to get any worse, she's going to stop with you. And I said, oh, not so. I said, she realized when she got to me, why move past perfection? I grew up not ever not knowing my family, because I was the youngest one. I never greeted another family member into our family. But that's not all. I also grew up in a family, I don't remember hearing about Jesus Christ for the first time, because I was going to preach him before I was ever born. My mom was taking me 9 months before I ever entered into this world. And then they took me every time after that. I'm like that one preacher. I have a drug problem. I got drugged to church on Sunday morning. I got drugged to church on Sunday night. Drugged to church on Wednesday night. I don't ever remember a time when I didn't know about Christ. My friend, I am blessed. Now, of course, I had to come to a place, just in case you're wondering, I had to come to a place where I received him personally as my Savior, just like everybody must. But I didn't have to get introduced to him. I don't remember getting introduced to him. I am blessed. And my friend, I would never hold this country above the Lord Jesus Christ, that's for sure. But I am so thankful that this nation God allowed to come in existence so that people like me could grow up in a home where the name Jesus Christ was freely spoken, was never in a hushed tone, because they might be afraid of what somebody might find out about them. Samuel Adams, while signing the Declaration of Independence, said this: we this day have restored, capital T, H-E, the sovereign, capital S, We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his, capital H, let his kingdom come. Remember that when the Declaration of Independence, that was truly them declaring their independence from another sovereign, which they would have called the king. But he said, this day we have restored the, capital T, S, capital, the sovereign, to whom all men ought to be obedient, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come. And so this morning, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We have gotten through our battles and scrapes and fights, and we certainly are condoning so much that never should be. But I'm saying this morning that the most important message that this pastor has ever preached was told 2 weeks ago in Bible school, was told last week at Christian camp, was told today in Sunday school, and the most important message this preacher has ever preached is summed up in that little song that we've all learned in Sunday school probably, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then if that one's not enough, the other song that goes right along with it, red and yellow, black and white, the other verses, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And I, for one, am going to say thank God for America that has allowed us to have the privilege to preach the truth of this book. So today, I say God bless America. And may we use the freedoms that we have. Understand this, that I've talked to missionaries before. And as they go to foreign lands, they're not able to openly proselytize. And can I say it kindly? But many American Christians, if that was not allowed here, they would have no problem because they're not trying to proselytize anyone anyway. And what I'm meaning by that is, while we've got this great freedom, God help us if we don't use it. May God bless America. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And Lord, our message is clear. Our marching orders are set. Heaven is real. Hell is to be avoided. And Jesus is the only way. So I pray, dear Lord, that we would take the liberties that we have in this nation, and we would boldly confess and proclaim that salvation is in only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, here's my invitation. First of all, to everybody that's in this room or listening on TV or the radio or their computer or the radio, the Bible says that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Well, save them from what? Save them from their sin that all of us have been guilty of. And so the message of this church and the message of this preacher is, Jesus Christ says, for whosoever would come unto him, he would save. And if you're here and you're not saved, you don't get saved by being an American. You don't go to heaven by being from America. I only say to you that America at this point is allowing me to promote and provide and present this message. You go to heaven by receiving Christ as your personal Savior. Because without Him, then the Bible teaches that you would be responsible for all of your sins, and that you could never make it to heaven, because not by works of righteousness, which we have done, nobody gets to heaven through their own righteousness or their own goodness or their own works. So first of all, if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, wouldn't you do me a favor and just in a moment when we stand, come right here in front of the pulpit I preach from, somebody would be there with a Bible and just show you how you can accept Christ as your Savior. And then secondly is, if you are saved, I want to challenge every Christian. We've got freedom. We've got freedom when you get in a conversation with your neighbor this week or next week. We've got freedom when you have somebody over at your house for dinner, or you pass somebody and you get in a conversation. You have freedom to spread the news in the name of Jesus Christ. You have the privilege of telling and sharing with them how they too can go to heaven through Jesus Christ. I challenge you, Christian friend, let's not let that great freedom go unused. And then thirdly, maybe you've got something heavy on your heart and you just need to pray. You don't need anybody to help you. You just need to pray, and you just rather come here to the altar, these steps or this kneeling bench in the front, all altar space. You just like to come pour your heart out to the Lord. Then that's certainly fine. Maybe you've got a need as a Christian. You need to be baptized. You want to follow Christ in baptism. Maybe you feel you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's leading you in that. You come present yourself for any of those things, and we'll get that process started and help you through every step of the way. I'm just saying to you, whatever your need is, let's not leave this place without doing it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. As our ladies begin to play and you hear them, would you stand together with us? If you're able to stand together with us and make it a little easier for the folks to get out around you. Maybe keep an eye on that center of your pew, and if somebody needs out, let them slip out easier. Better yet, come with them if you know them. As they continue to play, maybe you ought to stand right there where you are and just be thankful to the good Lord that you, like me, were born in a nation where nobody came to you at 20 and had to tell you for the first time about somebody named Jesus. We can have that gospel sing tonight out at Harvest Acres. We don't have to worry about anybody knowing. We want them to know. We're not hiding it. We're not telling those singers to hush their voices. We're telling them to sing out for the glory of the Lord. And then somebody will get a Bible and they'll proclaim it. Folks, we're blessed of God. And I just want to challenge you this morning to thank Him. Thank the good Lord above that you've been born here, if you have. Or that you're here today. And I would suggest that if God would move on you, and I pray I would be faithful to do it as well, if He'd move on your heart or mine to leave this land and go proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, may the love for this nation never keep us here. May we realize that our sovereign, as was written by the founding father, our sovereign is God. And may we never mistake that. May Jesus' name be lifted up across this land and around the world. Anyone else, while they play one more part of a verse, if God's speaking to your heart, would you come? Thank you so much. You may look this way, and I'm going to ask you, unless it's 12:01, if you have an appointment you need to be at, you can be dismissed, but otherwise, if you can be seated. We have a special occasion this morning, and one that's a wonderful, wonderful aspect in the life of a pastor, and that is David Scott Martin III is this little fellow that you see up here, and his dad, David, and his mom, Brooke, they desire to raise him in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And they have asked us as a church to enjoy this baby dedication. I always tell what it is, and that is simply that we're dedicating the little one to the Lord. That's not salvation. That's just saying, Lord, you gave him, and we want to raise him for you. If you teach in Sunday school, or you help in the nursery, or you teach in junior church, or some other children's ministry, or you're a deacon or a deacon's wife, would you stand together with me right now? Deacon, deacon's wife, Sunday school teacher, junior church worker, nursery worker, you help in the children's ministry in some way. Would you quote that verse with me in Proverbs 22:6? It says, that's the one that says, train up a child. Would you quote that with me? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Thank you. You may be seated. They have engaged all of us. Obviously, they are responsible for raising Trey, but our job or our joy as a church is to get to see him as he gets more and more mobile, and he's running everywhere and getting into your stuff and slipping into my office and getting my stuff. I'm going to say praise the Lord. When I see handprints on all these glass doors around here, that is a wonderful gift from heaven. Please don't ever come to me and say, you know, kids messed this place up again. I'm praising the Lord that kids are messing it up. That doesn't mean we just let it be a free-for-all. I know you can get wild on that, but that is a great, great blessing. May God bring more people like this wonderful family our way and see them raise their kids for God's glory. Amy, you want to come over here? My wife and I take great joy just to get to stand with this couple. We'll have you stand around so folks can see you. And we'll let him stay with Dad just in case he gets fidgety, so. But you pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful family. Lord, we thank you for Trey's little life. You have blessed this home with him. And dear Lord, their desire is to see him grow. And dear Lord, not only physically develop, but spiritually. And one of these days when he understands, may he bow his little head and ask Jesus to be his Savior. And then would he grow up in a Christian home, live for you. Dear Lord, see his parents, just point him to you all of his life. And we'll thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful family. Put your blessings upon them, dear Lord, as they dedicate him and themselves to you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. See, he was a smart boy. He went over to mom. Dad wasn't getting it done, so he went over to Brooke. So thank you so much for being here. What a wonderful joy it is for us as a church to get to share this. And may we all keep this guy on our radar. You pray for him. You encourage him. You encourage his family. And they want to see him grow up and live for the Lord. Thank you so much. Let's all stand together. And you want to slip by and see the Martins? Well, it'd be a wonderful thing. Other than that, we'll see you out at Harvest Acres at 5 o'clock. We'll eat hot dogs, hamburgers, and have a wonderful time. And just come on out. I know you had to slip that tie off and all of that, but that's fine. You come on out. We're going to have a great, great time. We'll have a lot of fun celebrating. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you. Amen.